let's just talk about this Bitcoin ETF
real quick.
Yeah, I know that's going to be Ian touched on it, but let's just talk about it in a conversational format. So the Bitcoin ETF set to debut tomorrow, right?
Yep.
On the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah,
this is extremely important to keep in mind. It is not a pure Bitcoin ETF where it's measured like in like Bitcoin. It's measured by Bitcoin futures.
It's tied to the most important market there is.
Yeah, so the futures market, so the Bitcoin futures. So a lot of people, Bitcoin enthusiasts aren't really that happy about it because they feel like it's not, you know, a pure, you know, ETF that is directly tied with Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's tied to the future of Bitcoin. But nevertheless, it's still a big development.
It's the first step.
In the crypto space, a big development in the stock market space. Different people have different opinions about it. So what's your guys' opinions, thoughts about it?
Yeah, I think it's a first step in a long-term vision of having an ETF that actually has ties to the asset itself or assets in that class. And that's kind of the things we discussed, what will it do to the future price of it? And so like Ian said in his presentation, I think he laid it out pretty perfectly. We've seen November as a month where we've seen Bitcoin rise before. In fact, we spoke about 2015 when you initially invested in Bitcoin, it was in November.
$6,000.
Yeah, I think it might have been 6,500. 500 was, you can't short that 500.
No, I'm saying how much.
Oh, that's Bitcoin, one of the ultimate costs. Yeah, yeah,
Bitcoin,
yeah, yeah.
Bitcoin was $6,000 at the time when I invested. Now it's 61,000.
How do you think I feel in 2013?
Yeah,
700, 800.
So so ProShares is a fund that is opening tomorrow, but we already spoke about a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, that Fidelity has applied. A couple of other funds are going to be applying, but Invesco, which is a huge fund, has pulled out their application. And so the more funds that get involved, obviously, I mean, it could increase the price anywhere to, I don't know what we said, 75. I could see 75 to 80,000, but we'll see what happens. It's an interesting space. That's just how cryptocurrency is. So we'll see.
Ian, what's your thoughts?
You guys like Speed, episode 70, go check it out. I told you what the move was. The futures market tells you what the price of something is going to be. And the future is the most important market. So because they couldn't get who they wanted to bring it forward and get quote unquote true exposure, this is a good first step. But you guys have to pick. Like, do you want a decentralized currency that says F you to the government and American currency and all that you guys be talking online? Or do you want an ETF? Like, you have to pick. So if you want it to be decentralized in a way to hide money and open transactions, you can't have both ways. And also, if you guys like the speed and growth of the market, if you've ever traded futures, all my snipers, please put sniper in chat. If the Bitcoin future will have the volume that I think it will over the next month, when you guys get into the ETF, you're going to love the speed of it. That's why I always tell you to compare drawdown versus what the growth is. And that will tell you when you should be able to get in. It's a good first step, but I think the gains here will be pretty damn amazing. I would not invest in it the first 20, 30 days unless you have experience. But after that, you guys will be safe. You guys will be safe.
There you have it. That is the Bitcoin ETF. So let's talk about something that was trending today. I posted it on Instagram and it miraculously went viral. Shortly after that, that 10%, the top 10% of the wealthiest people in America own 89% of stocks. I'll repeat. Mm-hmm. That means that the top 10% of the wealthiest people in America,
mm-hmm,
89% of the stocks.
Whales.
That's something that you should, it's not even really whales because, I mean, we're in the top 10%. If you think about it, so it's not like it's not.
I'm not sure what he's talking about.
Troy, you're smart.
I'm not sure what he's talking about.
Nah, I mean, like it's not really that hard. It's not like a magical top. Yeah. Top 10% is not really that.
More than 100.
It's not that crazy. Yeah. But the long story short is this: that's disturbing for a few different reasons. And one of the reasons why we created Market Mondays was to educate people and continuously educate people to get into the stock market, because it's like, all right, if the top 10% have 90% of the stocks. That's telling you, right? Yeah. It's not a scam. It's not a pyramid scam. It's not a scheme. It's not gambling. They know what they're doing. They're doing it to make money.
Yeah.
So this is something that, you know, should motivate people to level out the playing field a little bit, because unfortunately it's only getting worse. That 89% number is an all-time high, by the way.
Yeah.
And so, it's going to grow to probably 97 within 15 years.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are making strides, but
not fast enough. I'll say what he wants to say. Stop bullshitting. This is why I tell you guys, stop arguing, man. Stop the red pill, high value man thing with Kevin Samuels. Stop all the rap debates. Stop. Mm-hmm. Who's better, Kyrie versus Michael Beasley in the 98? Bro, none of that matters. None of that matters. We are the only people and only culture that they pit us against each other. And the thing that was most interesting about the Facebook debacle is that when they're using this commentary and using these algorithms to make us fight, it is to monetize us on their platforms, and then we go broke arguing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen 80 people be like, yo, Tom Brady. It is to keep us distracted from the goal that matters most, which is freedom. If you want to be free, please put free in chat. But who had the best verse between Dirk and 21? Shout out Dirk. It does not matter in the grand scheme of things. Dirk got his family paid. It is your job to get your family paid. I'm begging. This is why I say no one before us did this kind of show for free. The only people that was at scale that was talking about investing, Bono and Josh Brown, Jim Cramer, Dave Ramsey. Please put in chat who gave y'all better entries, better companies, and less losses than me.
But Dave Ramsey, not really spitting that.
But you still got to give him credit for being at 25 years.
He played a major part.
He has a role to play, but he not really.
As is Susie Orman.
Yeah, they not really providing information like that. Though. They give the information on, like, pay off your credit card debts and things like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
The sauce is a little different.
The seasoning's a little spicy. Yeah.
I would say it reminded me of the question that we get asked pretty frequently when we go out to these networking events and we walk the streets is, I have a large amount of money. What should I do?
Invest it in the market. That's
it. We get that question all the time. And so when I saw that article, it was like, bing, 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 bing. What are the wealthiest people in the world doing? That's what you should do, right? It's not like, wait, should I do real estate? What are the wealthiest people doing?
Every business person on earth is in a business of buying the best businesses on earth. We're the only ones who debate it.
Which one,
Square versus Visa? Both of them. Bitcoin, Apple, both of them.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
backdrop.
Backdrop. A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.